outside people. Are you on? I mean, outside world has no idea as to how Baba has suffered physically. Absolutely no idea. Because suppose if there is a darshan program and Baba is not at all well, we know how ill he, not ill, I, we know, we knew how he was suffering. But as soon as he came out of his room in front of the congregation to give his darshan, he would change himself. He would look so pink, radiant, happy, that the crowd did not have any idea what was going on behind the curtain, behind the scene. Because he wanted the crowd to be happy because they had come for his darshan. So he wanted to give them. And naturally, if they saw Baba depressed, they would have felt depressed. So Baba didn't want the crowd to be depressed. And we could see the marked change in Baba. He would be so pale, drawn, so much suffering on his face when he was just half an hour before or 5 minutes before in the bedroom or in his room, wherever he was. And the change that we saw in Baba when he confronted, when he was before his lovers, was fantastic. So people have no idea. Even in his lifetime, when Baba's physical body was there, thousands and thousands of Baba lovers were there, but even they don't have idea about what Baba suffered. Because they thought Baba was God. And they just took Baba as God. They did know about Baba's suffering because they were told, but then they never saw Baba suffering so much. So likewise, you see, the world does not know what Baba has suffered in silence. He kept silence for 43 years, but he even suffered silently. Even we who were so intimate with him did not understand or did not know the gravity of his suffering. We only knew as much as our human capacity could see and hear and feel. That's all. But so many times Baba used to tell us, you all have no idea what I'm going through, how much I'm suffering. You all have no idea. And definitely we didn't have any idea. Because what we saw was in itself enough for us all. We didn't have more capacity to feel his suffering more than what we already did. I'll tell you one incident. I remember that so vividly, that in 1959, when Baba was in Guru Prasad in Pune, one evening he uttered these words. He said, Christ was crucified once, but I am being crucified every moment. He tried to make us understand what it meant. Of course, it was very difficult for us to feel what it meant. I mean, he was suffering every moment. I mean, it was crucifixion for him every moment. So can you imagine for 10 long years how he must have suffered when he said he was being crucified every moment? That means for 10 long years how he must have suffered till he dropped his body. It's beyond one's conception, or it's beyond oneself to know what it was. Impossible. Impossible to imagine. And the last year was the climax of the whole thing, when he went into that great seclusion. Did Kabir tell you how he was in seclusion? He used to sit in his room alone. And he used to beat his thighs with his fist all the time while he was in seclusion. For months and months and months. Now I forget when he started doing that, but his thighs used to get black and blue. When he used to come out of seclusion, Gava used to apply and Gava used to try to heal that black and blue thighs. But then he would do that again the next day. So there was no time for the healing. And in the end, those thighs were like two pieces of logs. All black and blue, but even in feeling they were like logs. They were like wood. He explained why he did that. He said he beat his thighs with his fist in order to keep himself down to earth, because his work was so intense and his work was so great that he had to keep himself down. So that pain of beating on his thighs was keeping him on this earth. And during that period of seclusion, he used to make Eraj recite the Master's prayer and the prayer of repentance on the Mandali side. And Baba was so weak in condition physically because of his seclusion, that it was very difficult for him to stand. But still, he used to stand on his feet during those prayers. Sometimes it was so difficult, so Erich used to tell Baba, "Baba, why don't you sit down? I will recite the prayers, why don't you sit down?" And Baba would say, "No." And then Baba explained that whoever will say these two prayers after I drop my body will be benefited. Of course, then again, even in the women mandali, the prayers were recited. That's why I tell everyone, whomever I can, that these were Baba's words. So we must say these prayers, the Master's prayers and the prayer of repentance, every day. He suffered so much for humanity. There are so many things we can't explain, but we know how he has suffered for humanity. Humanity of the future. I mean, today young ones love Baba so much without even coming in contact with Baba physically. I mean, without seeing Baba physically. But he loved you so much. He even loves you now. I mean, why say loved you? He loved you so much, he even loves you now. And for you all, he has suffered and worked during his physical lifetime. There are so many other things we can't explain, we can't say, but we know. Now we know why Baba did particular thing, or why Baba acted like this, or why Baba acted like that, or why Baba said this, or why Baba said that. There's so many things. Now we understand that it was for you all. Suffered to save you young ones from the drugs. He has worked very hard for that. We know it. And therefore, naturally, you, those who are connected with Baba, are coming to him. You are all his children. What was I going to say? I forgot now. So it's Baba wants you to draw you to him. So how can he do that? with love. And he must give you that feeling of love, joy, happiness, even if you tears of joy, everything. So in order to bring you all to him, he has sown the seed of love, which is now sprouting. But then you have a long way to go. So Baba will make you understand as time to come. Why Baba says, hold on to my Dhamman? Because there will come times in your lives, not one time, times, a number of times in your lives, when you will feel like leaving his Dhamman. Because naturally when you suffer, you say, where is Baba? I'm suffering, he doesn't help me. But he's always there with you. So remember, he will always be with you. But that suffering is absolutely a necessity to go nearer to Baba, to understand him more, to love him more. So suffering is absolutely a necessity. But you may not understand at the time. You may be perplexed, because different people will have different experiences. Some will be able to bear it, some will not be able to bear it. So at the time when one becomes absolutely helpless and one feels that now it's simply impossible to bear anymore, at the time you must remember Baba's words, hold on to my Dhamman. And Baba is always there. You will feel, there will come times when you will feel that Baba has forsaken you, because you won't feel Baba within you. That is your feeling, but Baba is there. It will be your feeling that Baba is not there, but Baba is there. Inside, outside, near you, he's in every particle of atmosphere. He's everywhere. But for a time, he may make you feel that he's not with you or he's gone away somewhere. But that's only a feeling that you need to experience to go closer to Baba, to understand him more, to love him more. So when you all say that you don't understand Baba's suffering, yes, today you don't, but you will in time to come. You have to, you must, because you have a long way to go. We have all gone through it. We have passed the years with Baba. That doesn't mean that we are not going to pass more years in the same way, maybe worse. Because, see, as you are ready, Baba gives you more and more. It's something like this, that you are in school. You study hard, you work hard, and you go into the next grade, and the next, and the next, and the next. But as you go forward and forward, you have to study harder and harder, because the lessons are harder, you go into higher standards. It's something like that, even in the spiritual life. As you are ready, Baba will say, now come on, you're ready. Now you must go into the second grade. So you have to study more hard. The lessons will be harder. When you're ready and when you have passed your examination to second grade, you have to naturally go into the third. And it becomes harder and harder. But then you grow. You also grow rich in experience of Baba. You also learn to suffer. So when more suffering comes, you are ready for it. You can ready to take it. So if you leave it to Baba, Baba says that don't worry, be happy. Why does he say that when there is suffering, so much of suffering? How can we be happy? And how can we not worry? But we can do that provided we leave everything to Baba. Baba says, do what you have to do and leave the result to me. If we leave the result to him, to Baba, then there is less worry. Because our worry is mainly for the result. Think hard. We always worry for the result. But if we leave the result to Baba, then our worry will be less. Baba says, leave everything to me. But we can't, because our mind is just running fast. But still, if we try to, we must try. We must try to leave everything to Baba. We must keep complete faith in Baba. We must surrender to him. And our faith should be complete. Baba says that your faith should be such that of a child in a mother. A child has so much faith in his mother that even if the mother gives a cup of poison, the child will drink it. Because child has that much faith in the mother that whatever mother does is for my good. So even a cup of poison, the child will drink because the child has that much faith in the mother. So Baba says that your faith in me should be such that of a child in its mother. So you see, all these things we must remember at the time. There are times when we just face a wall. We don't know what to do at the time. The difficulties are such, we just can't find a way out. It's just a blank wall. So what can we do at the time? We become so frustrated. But if we remember at the time that Baba is behind the wall, he's there. He's there behind the wall. But he has kept that wall in front of you. Because you need to experience that feeling, that stage. So just surrender to Baba. Let Baba do what he feels like doing. When you come at a crossroad or when you confront a blank wall, you just say, well, let Baba do what he wants to do. And he will solve your problem. It may take time. You require patience. You require patience in every walk of life. Don't you? In every walk of life you require patience. So why not patience when you love Baba so much? When you want to follow Baba, why not keep patience? Baba will give everyone as much as one is ready. I mean, there have been times when people have asked something much more than one could digest. And Baba said that if you can't digest, how can I give you? Once he said, somebody must have asked something. So Baba said, you can digest only one loaf of bread. But suppose if I give you 7 loaves of bread, it would be indigestion. So we in our human capacity will ask anything, much more than we can digest, much more than we can take it. But Baba knows that we can't take it. So he will give as much as we can take it. So he knows what is best for us. Since he knows what is best for us, it is best to leave everything to him. Just leave it to him. Well, let Baba do what he likes. So surrenderance is so important. Surrendering to him, to leave everything to him. keeping faith in Him, because faith is very important. Because faith only will make one hold on to His Dhamma. And love will come. Love is always there. Love is Baba's grace. Baba says, you cannot love me. Once He said, you cannot love me. It is my grace that makes you love me. So Baba's grace is already there. So when there are times when you don't feel love for Baba or Baba's love for you, don't worry at the time. Because there have been these problems with many who are coming now, and that, oh, we don't feel Baba, we don't feel His love. And they try to feel His love, grope for His love. His love is there. Because of His love you have come all the way thousands of miles from the States to here. It is His love that has brought you here. So why worry about not feeling His love? The love is there. But Baba works differently with different people. Some feel His love more, some less, and some don't feel at all. And it worries them. It worries them a lot. I mean, it's the agony for them. It's an agony. But then perhaps that agony will bring them closer to Baba. So Baba knows what is good for each one of you. Just wondering, because this is also a very common problem, that's why I say. There's another problem too, and that's that problem is that during the time of meditation, or during the time when one says Baba's prayers, or one is in Baba's tomb, or one is listening to Baba's stories, one's mind is not on Baba, but it roams around somewhere else. That's a very, very common problem with one and all, to some more and to some less. So naturally the guilt comes in, and some think that, well, what's the point in taking Baba's name? What's the point in meditating Baba's name? Since I can't meditate upon Baba, but I'm thinking of something else. There was one girl who said, well, when the aarti was being sung in Baba's tomb, when we were singing Gujarati aarti of Baba, so she told me that when the aarti was being sung, I was thinking of something. I couldn't concentrate upon Baba, and I felt so guilty about it. And like that, many instances. So there's one thing I will tell you what Baba said, and that will answer everything. There was one very intimate Baba lover. Close ones of Baba lover from Bombay. She's a married woman. She has two grown-up children. The daughter was married, and the husband was dead. Of course, husband was dead after many years of marriage. She came in contact with Baba for many years, and she loved Baba very much. She had intense faith in Baba. But after some time, I think she was in her mid-50s at the time, she started getting very nasty, vulgar thoughts. She was a very sweet woman, very very, very sweet. I mean, one would never expect that such thoughts would go into her head. And it, the thoughts never, she never had those thoughts before. And she started getting those thoughts. She started getting dreams that went on for months. And she became crazy. She didn't know what to do. Then she told me that what should she do? I said, the only thing that you can do is to take Baba's name, because that is the only thing that will help you. She said she has taken Baba's name all the time. She was thinking of Baba more and more and more intensely, and yet that doesn't help her. That didn't help her. Well, I said, there's nothing else you can do about it. Still continue taking Baba's name. And the poor woman suffered for nearly 6 to 8 months. And then Baba came to Bombay. When he used to come to Bombay, sometimes he used to give darshan to the near ones, and sometimes he would just come to Bombay and do his work, whatever he wanted to do, contact masts, and go away. But on that particular stay of Baba in Bombay, he let a few very near ones come for his darshan. And she was, that lady was one of the lovers, one of Baba lovers, who also came on that day. Baba was in the mood, or maybe, you know, everyone had something to say. And so Baba one day called everyone in the afternoon. And he kept them all in the inside room of my apartment and called one by one in the sitting room where Baba was sitting on the couch. And Baba made me also sit there, because they were all very near ones, and whenever they had their difficulties, they would all come to me and ask me. So naturally Baba knew about that, and Baba said, you sit here only. So I was sitting there when one by one came. When that lady came in the room, Baba asked her, have you anything to tell me? And the poor woman was so overwhelmed that she couldn't say anything, but she just cried like a baby. And Baba let her cry. Then she told her difficulty to Baba, that she was getting nasty thoughts, vulgar thoughts, funny thoughts. She couldn't even describe those thoughts. Baba let her talk for a few minutes, and then Baba embraced her and told her not to worry. Baba said, let the thoughts come. You don't fight them, because you will not be able to do anything about it. But you just go on repeating my name as many times as you can. Repeat my name more when those thoughts come to you. Because taking my name is like a mosquito curtain. You know what is a mosquito curtain? Here in India there are so many mosquito curtain, because naturally if you don't have, in here, you know, you have experience that in Nagar, if you don't have mosquito curtain, you can't sleep. The mosquitoes will bite you. So Baba said that repeating my name is like a mosquito curtain. The mosquitoes will buzz, the thoughts will buzz outside, but they won't touch you. Like the mosquitoes, they go on buzzing outside the mosquito curtain, but they won't sting you. In the same way, repeating my name is like a mosquito curtain. The thoughts will remain outside, but they won't hurt you. They won't harm you. So this is what Baba said. And it has impressed me so much, because this is what has helped so many later. Whenever anyone came with that problem of not thinking of Baba at the time of repeating his name, I said, don't worry, Baba has said this. You just go on repeating Baba's name. So even at the time of serious thinking of Baba or prayers or singing his aarti, you think of other things. Don't worry. Try to concentrate upon Baba. But then you go on in any form thinking of Baba. Because one may feel that, well, what's the point in repeating Baba's name when I can't concentrate upon Baba? Or what's the point in meditating upon Baba when I can't think of Baba? Still do it. Still go on repeating his name. In fact, more and more. Because Baba himself has explained so beautifully. Baba's ways are such that he doesn't allow any suppression. We have unconscious mind, and there are so many things lying dormant there of which we ourselves are not aware of. But they come out in some form or the other. And when there are psychological problems, one goes to a psychiatrist or a psychologist to solve the problem, and the psychologist brings out the inner self. So in the same way, there are so many things that's lying deep inside us, and maybe that's my idea of interpretation. It's not what Baba has said, remember. What I feel and what I think is that Baba never allows anything to lie down inside us. So he brings it out in some form or the other. And maybe when we are taking his name or thinking of him, Baba takes the opportunity of bringing out our inner problems or inner things or inner thoughts on the surface and throws them out. And Baba's name helps us, because to bring out our inner self, there should be an outlet. Suppose I have a very hot-tempered nature, then my anger comes out on someone or the other. But Baba doesn't like anger to come out, in the sense that anger should come out. But Baba says, let the thoughts come, but don't put into practice. So if we get angry on someone else, that means we have put that thing into action. So maybe to tone us down, when we take Baba's name, Baba brings that thing on the surface in some other way and throws it out, is what I think. This is my explanation. There was a time when Baba wanted us to meditate for half an hour in the ashram and outside the ashram. Those who stayed in the ashram Also, there was a fixed time. At the time, there were about 35 women, Easterners and Westerners. And they were all staying at Mehrabad. So a bell would ring, and everyone would be ready within 5 minutes, would take their respective places and meditate upon Baba for half an hour. And then there would be a second bell, and then everyone would get up. So that was how it was. Now again, the same problem was with most of them. Most of the, even in the ashram I'm talking about, most of the women also had the same problem. So for some time they bore it up, and then one day it came out from one of the inmates, "Baba, it's really very funny. I'm busy all day long and I can't think of anything. But when I sit and meditate upon you, I think of Hitler and Mussolini," because at that time the war was going on. I mean, during the daytime I wouldn't even think of them, but when I sit and meditate, I think of those silly leaders, Mussolini and Hitler, and I don't know what to, I can't control them. I can't control my thoughts. Baba would just smile and say, "Don't worry." So it's like that. But then, at that time, they were thinking of such funny thoughts. I mean, thoughts which had no concern with one's personal self. And yet, like that I talked about that lady. I mean, she was such a sweet lady, such a loving lady. I would call her a pious lady, because she led her life, she devoted her life to God. And when she came in contact with Baba, and she devoted herself to Baba, and then to her husband and children, and one would not even dream that she could ever have those nasty thoughts. And they started coming to her. And mind you, even after Baba embracing her and telling her not to worry, the thoughts continued for nearly 2 more years. There are some who just say that God does everything. So whatever we do in all our actions is because God wanted us to do those actions. So we naturally put the whole thing on God. I mean, God means Baba. That, well, like one boy who said that, "Well, if I take drugs, I want to love Baba and I want to take drugs as well. Because what I feel is that it is Baba who wants me to take drugs. How can I can't stop taking drugs. So naturally it is Baba's will that I should take drugs, because I can't help myself." So there have been many such questions, that whatever God does, I mean, everything happens according to God's wish and will. And of course, Baba has said that, that everything is done according to my wish and will. And he has also said that not a leaf can move without my wish and will. So some do misunderstand. Misunderstand in this way, that as far as they say that it's everything is God's wish and will is right. But then Baba has also said that hold on to my Dharma, do what I say, have faith in me, surrender to me. Why would he say all these things if it was only God's wish and will? So once Baba was sitting in a small group, and he was in a good mood, and somebody brought a jar, a big plastic jar of sweets. So Baba took that jar and kept that jar on his lap, and he opened the jar, And he gave sweets to all, distributed the sweets to all, and then the jar was empty. Then he was explaining something, that reference I don't remember, but then he said, he opened the lid, that was the red lid of the jar, so he opened the lid. Then he said, to open the lid is in your hands. To fill in the jar is in my hands. So you see, when God-man is in physical body, he wants us to give our hand in his hand. If we just stand straight, not lifting our hand, and we want Baba to help us, Baba said, I cannot help you. You must give your hand in my hand. So we must extend our hand halfway, and then Baba takes our hand and takes us along wherever he wants to take us. He wants to help us more. Otherwise we go on our destiny way. Destiny is there. I mean, the world is run on destiny. Everyone has their own destinies. So what is the purpose in God-man taking the physical form? There should be a purpose. And the purpose is that he wants his close ones to take on a short route, on a shortcut. But we go on our destiny way. So how can we go on a shortcut? But he knows it. So if we give our hand in his hand, he takes us on that shortcut.